In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to start explaining the prayer book. And before we start to explain the prayer book, I thought we'd have a few pillars and principles and thingies, because I couldn't think of another special category. So pillars for prayer for all of us should be reading, certainly beginners, and you could be a beginner for a long time, is the prayer book. Use the prayer book. Use the church's prayers. The Psalter, at least some of the Psalter. Even if it's one psalm a day, become acquainted with the Psalter. And intercessory prayers, absolutely critical. And then after all of that, then also the Jesus Prayer. But don't you dare do just the Jesus Prayer and don't do the other stuff, because that's a good way to fall into real problems. The Jesus Prayer is critical, and it's part of learning to really pray the prayer of the heart, or it's sort of the culmination, really, of the other prayers. But we have to establish the mind, the right mind, which is the mind of the church. And we find that through the prayer book, through the Psalter. And also we are showing God that we really are real about this by praying for others, especially the people we have any problems with. So there's the prayer book, the Psalter, intercession for others, and the Jesus Prayer. And then four principles of just daily living are to have your daily prayer rule, hopefully in the evening and in the morning. If not the evening and the morning, then the morning. If not the morning, then the evening. If you can do both, do both. Fasting, as best you can. Services, and the church. When we learn about the church, we learn from the services of the church. It's not an intellectual endeavor to learn about the church. It is where we come and ask God to teach us, especially in the services, really. Very critically important. And that is especially that beyond just liturgy. Liturgy is not, strictly speaking, a pedagogical service. This is the pedagogical service, Vespers and Matins. And then also reading. So you've got daily prayer, fasting, services, and the reading. Reading especially of the gospel. You know, if you want to do a study of Leviticus, why don't you do that a few years from now, okay? It's a good book to read. But it's very important to read the gospels. They're hard enough. And then three thingies, because I couldn't think of anything spectacular to say about those. But these are very important things sort of apply to your life. One is do something. Do something every day. Do something. Don't do nothing. And related to that is it's better to do a small thing than to not do a big thing. Because not doing a big thing means you did zero. So if you do a small thing, that's better than not doing anything. And then also, don't give yourself excuses. If you missed your prayer rule, if you were lazy and didn't do your intercessions, don't excuse yourself. But then on the other hand, don't browbeat yourself. No excuses, but if the day has passed, you can't bring the day back. You don't have a time machine. You can't go and do your intercessions for yesterday, but you can do them for today. So do something. Don't do nothing. And in line with that sort of corollary, it's better to be doing something, even if it's small, than to try to do something big and not do it at all. And then don't make excuses. Don't excuse yourself. Our prayer is very mature. We don't excuse ourselves in our prayer. In fact, we accuse ourselves in our prayer. It's a different mindset. It's way different than prayer outside of the Orthodox Church, for the most part. So you have those things. Now, some of the things that are obvious givens I didn't mention. It should be obvious that you should be struggling to follow the commandments. It should be obvious that you're trying to fulfill your purpose. It should be obvious that you should try to humble yourself and be kind to others. Those things are obvious. All this stuff is in order to do that stuff, right? To grow to perfection. But it's good to have some sort of organization behind it. Now, I just want to talk about the very beginning of the prayer book, the words that, to be honest with you, I haven't read in years, because they're kind of instructive and they're kind of what you should be doing anyway. But it's not bad to read them every morning and then try to apply them. There's a really great treatise on prayer by St. Theophan the Recluse that basically talks about what I'm about to say, at least the spirit of what I'm about to say, he mentions. And that is to your prayer, all of your prayer, should be to talk to God, to be in his presence, to beseech him, to try to have union with him. Prayer is not a static or a formal thing. We might formally say prayers that are in the book, but we should not say them in a legalistic way. We're trying to pray these prayers to make them prayers of our heart. So they're on the page. They were written by somebody else, probably by a saint, prayed by hundreds of thousands, millions of holy people. we try to make these prayers our own in our hearts. So here are the instructions at the beginning of the morning prayers for those who haven't read them or haven't read them in a long time. Having risen from sleep before any other action, stand reverently, considering thyself to be in the presence of the all-seeing God. And having made the sign of the cross, say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So you try to be in God's presence. You remember that, well, whether you're trying or not, you are. But are you feeling His presence? Are you giving due consideration to His presence in your life? Are you acting reverently, piously, with fear, but also with expectation and with boldness? So you stand in God's presence. The best thing to do is to do it immediately. If you can't do it immediately, then do it as soon as possible. And if you can do that on a consistent basis every morning, this really is helpful. And in the evening too, when you begin your evening prayers. We need to get ready for prayer. I remember a comment made about St. John Maximovich. His icon is right over there in the center. And someone said, we always need to prepare for prayer. You know, we need to say canons and agapes, and we need to do something to get ready for prayer. But St. John never seems to need to do those things. And the person, somebody made a comment, he's always in prayer. He doesn't need to be ready for prayer. He's always praying. So you don't need to get ready for prayer if you're already praying. But if you're like your average human, and we all are like that, then you need to do things to get yourself prepared for prayer. So you have to have a mindset, sort of like girding your loins. You're going to get up, you're going to immediately try to stand in the presence of God. Maybe you have to splash your face, maybe you even have to make a cup of coffee. But then you're in the presence of God. And to pray with attention as best you can. And have the words sort of echo, sort of resonate, would be a better way, in your heart, as best you can. Just saying, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is an amazing, grace-filled prayer. Because after all, when we say that, we are just invoking the Holy Trinity, the one who's created the universe, the one who is, the one who made us to be like Him. And when we are making the sign of the cross, and I won't go through the symbolism of the cross right now, but when we hold our fingers in a certain way, and we touch our head and our belly and our shoulders, we are basically dedicating our whole self to God. We're basically saying, not in so many words, but in our actions, I am a slave of God. I'm willingly a slave of God. I give myself completely over to Thee, because You have the words of life. You don't just have the words of life, you have life. You are the Word which gives life. So we make the sign of the cross with as much attention as we can. And if you start prayer with attention, it's more likely you're going to have attention throughout your however long you're praying, whether it be 5 minutes or 50 minutes. But if you start it in a distracted way, it's pretty hard to become undistracted. The other instructions are, then pause a moment until your senses are all calmed and thy thoughts... Until thy senses are calmed and thy thoughts forsake all things earthly, and then make 3 bows, saying, and then it says the prayer of the publican, which is, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Incredibly powerful prayer. So one of the things that is important is don't try to rush it. If you have 10 minutes to pray and your morning prayers normally take 15, don't try to pray them in 10. Don't try to do that. Pray with as much attention as you can. And if particularly you start to say a prayer and perhaps it resonates in your heart in a certain way, you can linger on it a little while. You don't have to immediately go on to the next one. There's no checkbox that you have to say, I prayed the 16 prayers in the morning prayers, and I just made that up. I have no idea how many there are. I haven't counted them, right? But I prayed them all. Check, 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 check. Maybe you pray the first 5 and you feel some attention. That's okay too. But it's good as a general goal to try to say the morning prayers and to try to say the evening prayers. Or if you're unable to do that, to try to say a portion of the morning prayers or a portion of the evening prayers. Or maybe selected parts from the evening prayers that really touch you. I love the prayer of the 24 hours of the day by St. John Chrysostom. And I would always say that one no matter what. Maybe there's another one that really touches you. So you say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And of course, what did the publican do? The publican said, I'm a terrible person. But he had this faith that God would help him. And if you recall the parable, he left the temple justified rather than the Pharisee, even though he was the one saying he was a sinner. And when he was praying, he didn't even lift up his head, right? He beat his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, because he was full of compunction about his sins. And yet when he left, the Lord justified him. The Lord gave him confidence. The Lord showed him that, I'm going to help you. You're not alone. So try to ease into your prayer rule slowly. Don't just start rushing it off. Now, children are famous for this, right? Children can say the Trisagion prayers in 1.3 seconds. And that's not correct. They should be said slowly. I mean, not so slowly that they're ponderous. Obviously, when you're in a group of people and you pray really slowly, I mean, people start to just get itchy, right? You don't want that. But you do want them at a good pace, and whatever pace is good for you. When you're by yourself, you want to say them aloud, say them aloud. You want to say them whispering them, whisper them. You want to say them only in your head, say them only in your head. Whatever works for you. And say them with care. And the whole point of every one of these prayers is to be standing in God's presence saying them. And then the last prayer that I'll cover is the Jesus Prayer. Well, actually sort of a modified Jesus Prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, for the sake of the prayers of thy most pure mother and of all thy saints, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. And then we begin the formal Trisagion prayers, which we'll start going through, which begin with glory to thee, our God, glory to thee, and the rest. Now you can, for now, I would say do it this way. If you're new to the prayer book, that's the way you should do it. Just do it the way it tells you. That's okay. As you start, things start to resonate in your heart, perhaps you don't want to just say this prayer, this last prayer once. Maybe you want to say it multiple times. Maybe you want to do it with a prostration. Maybe you want to say the Jesus Prayer 100 times. Maybe you want to do something else. That's okay. But for now, it's good to just do it. Do it the way it says. Let it sort of grow in you, and then do more. I guess another principle, so I could have... I told you about the four pillars, the four principles, and the three thingies. I could have four thingies. Because another really important one is try to always increase. Now, if you start with a whole lot, you can't increase, can you? If you say, okay, I'm going to read all Gospels. I'm going to read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every day. Well, you can't increase in reading the Gospels then, can you? The only way you can go is down. What about if you say, I can read one chapter of the Gospels? Or maybe I can read 10 minutes of the Gospels, whatever that leaves me. Or 5 minutes of the Gospels. Well, you can always do 10 minutes then, right? You can always increase. And you don't have to increase the next week. Maybe the next year you increase. It's good to do a little and then increase. That's very important. Now, I've told you about intercession. That's critical. All of you should have a list of people that you pray for. Your family, friends, enemies. People you don't like, people that you should like, but you don't. People that you have bad feelings about, but you shouldn't. And you write those names down. I would actually recommend write them down, however you want to do it. You want to use technology? I do. I write them in Word. I share them to Dropbox. They're in my phone. I print them off every once in a while. I even have categories, you know, of different, because otherwise the list would be too big. You want to do it that way? Fine. For now, though, do it simply. Don't pray for 500 people, because you'll do that for a week, and then you'll pray for 200 people the next week, and 50 the following, and you miss a few days the next. So pray for a decent number of people, your family, your children, etc. You know, there's no absolute number, but try not to have it, you know, be some amazingly high number of people. You can always increase it later. That's a principle I didn't really understand when I first became Orthodox. Because I was young and, you know, full of energy, but the energy didn't always get things done. It might do things for a day or two, and then I'd fall off. So it's much better to increase slowly. But always have in mind that you want to always do a little bit more. Not necessarily every day do a little bit more, but just try to do a little and then do more. And that's a very good principle to follow. Don't give yourself an excuse. Don't say, well, you know, I'm so busy, I can only say the Our Father every day. Well, that's kind of a little poor. But you can do a little more than that. But maybe just only a little more. So may God help you. Start reading the prayer book. Start using it. Start reading the Psalter. I know it's confusing, but it's beautiful. The more you read it, the more it just absolutely just starts to just get into your soul if you keep reading it. And even the confusing parts, sometimes you just have this moment when they just, it's like the sun comes out and you just, something, it just illuminates you.
But it can't do that unless you read it. Make sure you intercede with people. Write names down. And we'll talk about the Jesus prayer more later. It's a good prayer, but it's not the first prayer. It's not the first thing to learn. It's important to get there. And you can get there pretty quickly, but you shouldn't get there only there. Really experienced people, spiritual people, holy people might only say the Jesus prayer and nothing else in their daily prayers. But we're not there. Let's not kid ourselves. So that's how we should start. May God bless you and help you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.